Hi everyone. First of all, thanks for the invitation. It's always great to be here, feeling some cold that freshens your bones. So today I'm going to talk about quantum error correcting codes in low energy eigenspaces. And it's a joint work with Martin Eggeschwettner and Robert Koenig from Technical University of Munich and Eugene Tang from Caltech. Right. So I actually, before going to the main discussion, diving into the main discussion, I will have a huge motivations part, because without giving this motivation part, you know, it may seem a little bit meaningless to see why we are actually looking at these, why we try to find these error correcting codes in the low energy eigenspaces. So there are a few motivations that comes from different areas of physics. I will first start with holography. And then the claim is that there are codes at low energy of CFTs. Then I will mention another work that I did with Fernando Brandão, Elizabeth Crossan, and John Bowen, where we looked at, where we basically found approximate quantum error correcting codes in various physical systems. Let's call this generic systems. And here we will see how to find codes assuming eigenstate thermalization, and how finite energy density states of 1D translation invariant Hamiltonians also consists of some type of quantum error correcting codes. And we will also see some example Hamiltonians, which are gapless. And in the low energy eigenspace, we again find error correcting codes, gapless models. And specifically, we work with critical Heisenberg and some kind of generalization of this called Motzkin models. And then obviously, you know, another motivation comes from topological order by the work of Kitaev. Where if you look at the ground space of certain 2+1 dimensional models, so ground space or higher dimensional Hamiltonians, you again come up with quantum error correcting codes. And then I will start discussing our main result, where we make use of matrix product state formalism. So I will talk about the notion of injectivity, which implies that there is a local gapped Hamiltonian such that this MPS constructed by injective tensors are the unique ground state. So there's the 1D local gapped Hamiltonian. And this MPS is the unique ground state. And then I will discuss a naive way to try to come up with a quantum error correcting code in the ground space of gapped Hamiltonians, but the boundary term has been discarded. And I'll basically show that you cannot find any error correcting code with non-trivial distance with that particular encoding. So I call this a no-go theorem. Which basically tells us that injectivity implies there exists no QECC with, in the ground space of certain gapped Hamiltonians, local gapped Hamiltonians, there exists no quantum error correcting code with non-trivial distance. Then I will discuss two different ways of getting around this no-go theorem. So, you know, what you do when you actually come up with a no-go theorem, you basically try to explore all the cases that violate the assumptions of the theorem, right? And of course, one obvious thing to do is to look at non-injective MPS. And the other way is actually to consider the excitations on top of the ground states of injective MPS. So, right, great. Okay, so I hope I will be able to make this within the allocated time. Right, so the talk will go in a little bit nonlinear way. In order to be able to present the motivations, I first have to actually talk about what a quantum error corrected code is. Right. So let's, without all the generic motivations to find quantum error correcting codes, I'll introduce what they are. So the goal here is the following. You try to pick certain states there are 2 to the k many of these states in a big Hilbert space. Let's call it H physical, such that the dimension is equal to 2 to the n. So you are given this big Hilbert space that consists of n qubits, and then you try to come up with certain states such that for all states that lives in this Hilbert space, so this is the code subspace, which is the span of these guys, and the given error operation E, there exists a recovery map such that after an error occurs on top of our encoded state, we can basically apply this operation and get our original state back. So if this is the case, then we say that we have NKD quantum error correcting code, where K is this, which is the dimension of the code subspace, and D is the distance. So So you can think of D as on how many physical qubits our error operator is acting on. Right. So Neil and Laflamme showed that this is possible if and only if the following conditions are satisfied. So for all psi I and psi j, which are any two elements of an orthonormal basis of the code subspace psi I, let me just call it OD, psi j equal to lambda O delta I j. So let's try to intuitively understand why this condition actually implies this condition, you know, the being correctable, and also vice versa. So it basically tells us that if we start from two orthogonal code vectors in the code subspace, then an error operator acts. So we clearly get out of the code subspace. But when I is different than j, so if they are to begin with two orthogonal code vectors, they actually stay orthogonal even after the error operator. Because if they overlapped, then there exists no recovery map, which faithfully carries you back to the original code vector that you encoded, right? It's like you have certain messages that you want to send, and then an error occurs. And if the message that you encode to begin with some probability resembles another message in the code space, then basically you make a logical error. So this is this is basically the condition that we will focus on in our analysis. We can also name these conditions like separately. For I is equal to j, this basically corresponds to local indistinguishability. And for I different than j, this basically tells us that there exists no d-local operator that carries us from one logical state to another logical state. So no d-local operator. From any psi I to psi j within the code subspace. Great. So what we are going to do is that in some of these examples, they basically use this notion of quantum error correction. But in physical systems, we can't really expect anything to hold up to certainty. So we will loosen this definition, and we will talk about approximate quantum error correcting codes. So we here put an extra parameter, epsilon, that gives us the quality of approximation of the recovery. So let me modify this. One basically looks at the fidelity between the original state and the recovered state. So we want this fidelity high up to one minus epsilon. And here we basically add an error term to this condition. And what happens at the end is that this epsilon is upper bounded by 2 to the k plus 2D max ij square root epsilon ij. Right. So I'm not going to prove that, but an intuitive explanation of these terms is that this is a very crude upper bound, and the total error of the channel is basically upper bounded by the individual error, which are brutally summed up by all possible error operators and by all possible code vectors. Actually, I think it's 2k plus d actually.
If the approximant with the front poles, then
up to this epsilon ij for each ij, then this holds such that epsilon is less than this. It's if and only if, actually. Yeah. Right. Okay. Cool.
Sorry. What does it mean if and only if? There's a set of EIJs, epsilon ijs. So you mean that if it's an NKD epsilon QEC, uh-huh, then there exists some set of epsilon ijs such that this is true?
Yes. That's correct. Yeah. Uh huh.
You don't know exactly what that set is. It could be distributed.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And here in our analysis.
Okay, I see. But it could just be all of them is the maximum, and then you'll be satisfied.
It could be. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm still confused. The opposite direction. You want to say that if you have the first condition with an epsilon, then you can upper bound it epsilon ij, right? Then your condition seems to be in the wrong direction.
Sorry.
With the Canula-Vaughan condition, one direction is to say that if you have the top condition with epsilon, then you can upper bound the epsilon ij. Right. And this is not what I'm seeing in the inequality up there.
Yeah, so here it goes actually in this direction.
Up direction, not the other direction.
Yes.
So then what do you mean by if and only if? The exact condition is that when epsilon is zero, then epsilon ij is zero, and vice versa.
That's right, that's right.
And so the relaxation, if you maintain the if and only if condition, you need two inequalities.
That's correct, yeah, yeah. Yeah, here we only have this actually.
Okay, so it's not if and only if.
Not with these parameters, I would say. Yeah. Yeah. So let's proceed with these puzzles that we're talking about. Okay. So let's start with this holography notation. So this basically comes from a combination of results from ADA CFT, and I'm not expert on this. So if you want to get a first-rate treatment, just go watch YouTube videos by Daniel Harlow. But I will try my best to at least show that people expect error-correcting codes in the low-energy eigenspace of holographic CFTs. So here, basically, there are some puzzles. When you try to combine previous results that's been established in ADA CFT, and these puzzles, one way to resolve these puzzles is to see that this bulk to boundary map is a quantum error correcting code that corrects again erasure errors. Oh, here as well, I secretly assume that these errors are specific errors, which basically act on d local regions in the physical Hilbert space. So here, the setting is as follows. There's a correspondence between bulk and boundary states and operators. So there's a theory on the boundary, and there's a theory in the bulk, and there's a certain correspondence between these two. which one may assume is a complicated unitary operator. And one result from ADS-CFT basically tells us that any bulk operator has a reconstruction, has a corresponding boundary operator that's supported in region A, which is bounded by these points. So this is the bulk region small a. So any operator that lives in this region small a in the bulk has a corresponding boundary operator on this region. So now let's think about a local operator O that's on the boundary. One may think that instead of taking this surface for reconstruction purposes on the boundary, one could also take this surface. Let's say this one. So that would mean that now this phi operator has another reconstruction on the boundary that's supported on this region, this boundary region. And you can play the same game for any bulk and boundary operators. That would imply that there exists a reconstruction of any bulk operator on the boundary that commutes with any local boundary operator. So for any bulk operator, phi, and for every boundary operator, O, this holds. So this is a puzzle because on the boundary we assume that there's a conformal field theory, which is a local quantum field theory. And if an operator commutes with all local operators in your theory, then it has to be proportional to identity. So somehow, this correspondence, assuming this correspondence, any bulk operator, any local bulk operator, basically maps to a trivial operator on the boundary. But we, of course, know that on the boundary theory, we have to have non-trivial operators, right? It should not be all identity operators. One can make this puzzle a little bit sharper by considering a bulk operator in the middle, phi. And one can think of partitioning the boundary regions into three. So by the result that I mentioned you, this phi has a corresponding boundary operator on region AB, on region AC, or on region BC. So there exists phi tilde AB, phi tilde AC, phi tilde BC, that basically has the same action on the boundary operator, that has the same operation on the boundary theory. Right. So this is just another version of this puzzle. So here the problem is that it somehow maps one bulk operator to more than one boundary operators. And Almhairi, Dong, and Harlow I guess around 2014 basically say that maybe these conditions actually don't hold for the full Hilbert space, but they hold only for a subspace of the Hilbert space. So a And this is actually what's expected to be true, even only from the ideal CFT perspective, because one assumes this kind of geometry only for the low energy eigenspaces of the CFTs. And if you try to go to higher dimension, to higher energy, then you'll basically lose this picture. But then where does the quantum error correction property come from? Basically, it comes from the fact that even though there's a, you know, assume an error happens on B region, the question that we ask is that whether this operator is still recoverable, even though we lost this region B. And by this property that's called subregion duality, this bulk operator phi has actually a reconstruction on region AC that doesn't include B. So even though we lose this whole region B, we can still reconstruct this operator by only looking at A and C regions. So here the conjecture becomes then low energy eigenspace CFTs are quantum error correcting codes protected against the erasure error. And here, Wakely 1 can see that they actually expect a distance that's like roughly n over 3, something linear in n, basically. But unfortunately, there is, you know, resolution of this puzzle hints to the error correcting properties, but there is no proof of this. So no one really took a holographic CFT and actually checked these conditions, checked this error correction properties. So here one should really take this as like a proposal for the moment. Oops. So motivated by these high energy examples, we basically looked at a bunch of generic physical systems that has error correcting properties. One is ETH, which is expected to appear in maximally chaotic systems. And here is the statement of ETH, which is stated by Srednicki, I guess almost like 24 years ago. So it basically says that the following conditions hold for a D-local operator. And also, so EL, EL plus one, and so on, they denote energy eigenstates of a given Hamiltonian, which are nearby to each other. So these are really close by energy eigenstates. And if you just look at this equation or these conditions, that's called ETH, it's actually nothing but these conditions. The first one is local indistinguishability. These two energy eigenstates are locally indistinguishable up to exponential accuracy with the system size. And the second condition is basically saying that there exists no local operator, or any D-local operator can cause an exponentially small overlap with other eigenstates. So here, one can actually think about constructing a code space by defining it in the following way. So around energy E, every eigenstate in between is a code vector. And one can pick delta the order of e to the minus tn. Let's use another thing. En. And distance is dictated by basically the particular Hamiltonian up to what d this condition holds. Then one can actually construct linear n and d e to the minus fn, approximate quantum ergodic. Right. Basically, our epsilon ij's are exponentially small. And you can adjust this k in such a way that there are still exponentially many code vectors. So it's a linear rate code with exponentially decaying approximation parameter. So it's nice from the point of view that it's one of the best codes that you can get. But of course, it comes with the following trade-off. It's hard to encode and decode. Because you have to, in order to encode, you basically have to distinguish between two energy eigenstates, which are exponentially close to each other in the system size.
Sorry, D is a system size?
Well, there are some conjectures that in some theories, D can be linear in system size. Basically, it breaks down at n half.
D must be like connected or can be distributed?
In that particular theory that I mentioned, I think it's connected. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So one may think about other cases where we actually don't assume ETH. And we have the following results. In the finite energy density eigenstates, well, translation invariant eigenstates of translation invariant 1D Hamiltonians. If you pick your code vectors around a certain energy E up to plus and minus delta, but this time we pick delta the order of square root n. And for particular reasons, basically to make the error term for the off-diagonal condition, Nilaflam condition, to be small, we pick the energy difference between two consecutive code vectors to be of order log n. Then you can basically show that you have n order log n, and n to the minus 1/8. And the way that we prove is as follows. Basically, we just, we prove this error term. We prove that this error term for this particular code space choice decays like 1 over n. And for the diagonal condition, we make use of something called weak ETH. It's basically a result by Takashi Mori that basically says that if you pick code vectors randomly within this energy interval, then the probability that you will have states that doesn't obey ETH condition is exponentially low. So this is actually a random code. But when n goes to infinity, it actually becomes exact.
You're not taking all the eigenstates between e minus 1.
We have to take the eigenstates that has energy difference log n.
So you're selecting some subset of all the eigenstates.
Right, that's correct. Yeah. And then the reason that we need this log n distance between the energies is because of the off-diagonal term of the Neil-Laplan condition. And it's basically a result by Itai Arat, Kuwahara, and Landau that basically says that the following expectation value, E plus X OD psi E, is upper bounded by E to the minus lambda X minus D. So this basically says that any D local operator causes an overlap of at most this much between an energy eigenstate psi E and psi E plus X. So obviously to get distance at the order of log n, we have to choose our code vectors in such a way that they are at least log n distance in the energy eigenvalues.
So what part of the proof assumes 1D?
Well, right. Basically, in order to prove the diagonal elements, here we assume we have to have the property that we have finite correlation length at energy E. And this is only proven for 1D. Yeah. And then another physical system that we looked at, mostly inspired by this conjecture, saying that at the low energy eigenspace of critical models, we have error correcting codes. We basically looked at the so-called Motzkin model. So this has been introduced by many people, including Nagai, Mobasak, Shor, and a few other people whose names I can't remember at the moment, but it has been extensively studied by Ramis and Peter Shor afterwards. So it's a gapless model, but because of the reasons of how the gap closes, it's not expected to be conformal field theories. But anyways, it's a gapless model, and we know the ground states exactly. And it's also frustration free. So here are the following degrees. The following are the local degrees of freedoms. You have a degree of freedom, let's call it up, flat, and down. You could, of course, name them 1, 0, minus 1, but it will be more intuitive to label them by these pictures. And the Hamiltonian terms basically allows us to do the following moves without changing the energy. It's free to move from up-down configuration to flat-flat configuration, or vice versa. It's also free to move from up-flat to flat-up and down-flat to flat-down. Basically, it tells us that in terms of energy, we are free to move the configurations in the bulk without changing the boundary, without changing the height difference of the boundaries. Right.
The dimension
is 1D? It's in 1D, yeah. Yeah. And the ground states are of following form. If you look at periodic boundary conditions, let's label them psi m, and this is equal weight linear superpositions of lattice paths from the beginning of the chain until the end of the chain, such that if you start with height 0, you end up with height m. Right. And M basically gives you the number of how many more ups compared to downs. Now we can again make a, we can again pick some eigenstates from this ground space that basically achieves the same code parameters that we have here. And it's as follows. Let's imagine we choose psi 0, psi m, psi 2m, and psi 2 to the k m. So obviously, if the difference, let's call this m magnetization, if the magnetization difference between two code vectors are too much, then we start to distinguish them locally, right? So this gives us the total magnetization. And if it's really too high, then we actually started to distinguish them locally. So we should choose them close enough. But if we choose them really close to each other, then we actually violate the off-diagonal condition because there basically exists a local operator that gives you finite overlap with another code vector. So imagine like choosing psi 0 and psi 1. Basically, if you just flip a 1 qubit, let's say from up to down or down to up, just apply an x operator, then you will actually have 1 over square root to overlap with this state, which we don't want. So for this reason, we choose the minimal distance in the magnetization between two eigenvectors of order log n. And then these are locally indistinguishable up to log n over n, which goes to 0 as n goes to infinity. So eventually, it basically achieves the same code parameters that we found at the finite energy density, that's important, eigenstates of translation variant 1D Hamiltonians. So now it's at the low energy eigenspace of a critical model, but it has the same parameters. So the last three systems that I mentioned was a work done by Fernando, Elizabeth, myself, and John Bowen. And somehow we could basically prove generic results about eigenstates in connection with quantum error correction. But all these generic results, we have to pick an energy extensive with the system size. And for particular systems, we could actually analyze low energy eigenspace, but these are only for particular systems. Right. So our example will actually, you know, our results will give a way to analyze low energy eigenspace of certain models, which are actually gapped and local, using matrix product states. Now, before that, I also want to quickly mention topological order. So basically, here the code parameters are as follows. NCL 0. So it's an exact quantum error correcting code. And here L, 1. If we assume we are in big D space dimension, then the total number of lattice sites, which is n, is equal to L to the D. And this C depends on the topology of the system. So for toric code, for example, we are on the torus. Assume we are on the torus. We have 4 ground states, which means we have 2 qubits. So this C is equal to 2. which comes from the fact that we are on the torus, and the distance is basically L, because different ground states, they look similar locally, they look exactly the same locally, up to distance L, and also to connect, to have a non-zero overlap between two ground states, you have to apply a non-trivial operator that wraps around the torus. This is quite general, you know, you can actually generalize this line of thought to higher dimensions as well. And here I want to basically give a tensor network picture of this, which of course, you know, doesn't give any new result on top of the known results, but it will at least motivate our choice of the encoding that we use in the no-go theorem. So here you can see the tensor network that describes the ground states of topologic of the toric code, for example, as a map from boundary to bulk. And what I mean by this specifically is that we have an operator . So these are the virtual degrees of freedoms of the tensor network, and it actually connects in this way. Yeah, a lot of lines. Yeah, assume periodic boundary conditions on both sides. And these are the physical degrees of freedoms. So here this gamma is basically the map, the linear map that carries you from these degrees of freedoms to the bulk physical degrees of freedoms. And depending on what you choose for this x, you basically move in your code space. You can see this x as a virtual version of the Wilson loops. And this operator that's denoted by red, basically, you are free to move it on the lattice, which means that there is no local operator on the physical level that actually distinguishes what x that you use here. And this basically gives you the local indistinguishable property. And also, to go from one ground state to another one, you basically have this line here or this line here. So this is an alternative way to construct. Just purely having tensor networks and error correction in your mind, this would be a way to construct topologically ordered models. So there are reasons why we cannot play this game in one dimension, right? And this basically is the result that we prove by our no-go theorem. So the motivation part was a little bit spread, but here basically we want to understand the error correcting properties of low energy eigenspaces using matrix product states. And all the previous results, we cannot do, or we cannot perform this goal generically. And this is why we are looking at matrix product states. So the questions that we ask in particular is that how general we have these error correction properties at the low energy, either of a gapped or gapless model. And of course, the immediate question is that does it matter to be gapless? You know, as this was somehow the claim of the holography. Now let's try to play the same game that we played here in one dimension. We again write down a boundary to bulk map. But now considering this tensor network state. So here locally we use the same tensor A. And this local tensor A, you can see this as a map from CD to CD tensor CR. So these two legs are big D dimensional, and this physical leg is of dimension R. So this we assume our encoding map, and by changing this tensor on the boundary, you basically move in the code space. So in particular, this maps a tensor at the boundary degrees of freedoms to a quantum state in the bulk that's given by local tensor A and the boundary tensor X. So let's make a naive count for the sake of the error correcting parameters. So basically, we say that there are n spins in the physical Hilbert space. And we can at most have 2 log d, big D, d epsilon, AKSS. Simply because the number of total boundary degrees of freedoms is d square. So we can have at most big D square code vectors, which makes our code space dimension 2 log D.
So in this version, the logical qubits are on the boundary, and the physical ones are in the ball.
Right.
So this is the opposite of...
This is the opposite of the holographic. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. Okay. Which is also the case for the topological order. It's again the opposite of what people do in the holographic states. So here it's a bit, it's like a complementary problem. And in this setting, if we assume injectivity of A, which is supposed to be a generic property, which is equivalent to saying that the correlation, the connected correlation functions of this MPS is exponentially decaying. There is basically a parent Hamiltonian, which is local and gapped. If you only look at this guy. So this state in particular is the unique ground state of a local gapped Hamiltonian.
Well, what is
this small d here is the distance, which is undetermined at the moment. With our no-go theorem, we will prove that this can be at most constant. Yeah. Right. So of course, if we insist on this particular parent Hamiltonian, we will only find one ground state, right? Which is this state. So we can think of just erasing this Hamiltonian term from the Hamiltonian. This is still a local gapped Hamiltonian, but now it has ground state degeneracy. Basically, whatever I put here, it's the ground state of the same Hamiltonian. And then our no-go theorem says that for the above encoding, comma, generically, which means that we are using injective tensors, the distance is at most constant. So let's look at the sketch of the proof. And here we will basically just look at the diagonal Nilaufmann condition. So let's pick two states from this code subspace, psi x and psi y, such that they are orthogonal. Okay, I have to be more specific. And if you look at the reduced tensor matrices, well, basically we will try to understand this this expression. We will basically come up with an upper bound on this. So by using the properties of MPS on a D-local region, the reduced tensor matrices up to exponential accuracy in the system size looks like this. This is the left and the right eigenvector of the MPS, of the transfer matrix of the MPS. Zero. And the reason that we have this form of the exponential accuracy is the following. Injectivity implies that this matrix, which is also called transfer matrix, which is constructed by AA Dagger, it decomposes into, so its eigenvalue decomposition looks like this, with eigenvalues lambda I and lambda zero is strictly bigger than then the second largest eigenvalue, lambda 1. And hence, if we, when we try to find the reduced tensor matrix, we will mostly get the contribution from the highest eigenvector of this matrix. And all other contributions are exponentially decaying. And since we assume finite bond dimension, then they're unimportant. Even with more bond dimension, that would be unimportant, as long as they're not, it's not exponentially big. Right. So we look at basically the fidelity between these two matrices. And in this setting, it's particularly easy to take the square root. If you actually just take the square root of these guys, you would be taking the square root of the reduced tensor matrix. And combined with the orthogonality condition, we basically bound this term by 8 d to the 8 lambda 1 to the 7d over 2, plus some other terms, which are smaller than this, and finitely many other terms. So this basically tells us that if we have a constant bond dimension in this isometry that we use for the encoding, then our distance can be at most constant. Because when D gets larger and larger, we basically start distinguishing these two states more and more. And here, lambda 1 is strictly less than 1, basically. Yeah. I mean, we can also try to relax this constant bond dimension condition, because we actually know that the ground state of local gap Hamiltonians can be approximated with an MPS with poly n over epsilon bond dimension, where epsilon is the error, approximation error, to the correct ground state. Then even in this case, you will basically get at most log n distance. So basically, the result of this no-go theorem tells us that assuming this this encoding map and finite bond dimension, we can have at most finite distance. Yeah, in the case of SPT, you assume that you cannot, you have to obey the symmetry.
Yeah.
Right? All these error operators should obey the symmetry.
Sure.
Then, of course, then you can actually have a code.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. With non-trivial distance. Yeah. Yeah. But here, there is no symmetry. The symmetry is not assumed. So one way to go beyond this is going non-injective.
So how does that violate the no-go theorem? Is it because it's not injective anymore?
You mean SPT?
Yeah.
No, it's basically, right, here we assume, actually, wait.
Well, first, I guess you need open boundary conditions to get
yes.
degeneracy in the first place.
Right.
Like you need different states to begin with.
Well, okay, but that's still a constant number of states, right? Probably.
Yeah.
Right, right. Well, it's always constant number of states. Now, the question is about the distance. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's, I guess, the answer.
It's not a good distance. It's just against some.
Particular errors that obeys the symmetry.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So that's a different.
So it's not any d-local operator.
Yeah, okay. So different.
That's why looking the reduced asymmetrics doesn't actually help.
Yeah.
The,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. One is going non-injective. And let's think about the following local tensor. So all these particular values of this local tensor is equal to 1, and otherwise it's equal to 0. So basically it's, yeah. So when I alpha beta is equal to these three specific numbers, then the value of the tensor is 1. Otherwise it's equal to 0. And if you think about putting this on a circle, you can actually create two states, which are the following. When x is equal to 0, 0, or 1, 1, what we get is the product state. But when we choose another x, which is 0, 1, what we get is the W state. Of course, we also have to normalize it. So obviously, this, you know, this creates an approximate error correcting code, because if you look at them locally, the product state and the W state are indistinguishable up to error D over N. And also, obviously, any D local operator cannot map, cannot cause a, any D local operator can actually cause at most D over N overlap with the W state. So this is one way, and this can actually be generalized. You know, one can actually try to play with the possible non-injective MPSs. Now one can generalize this picture. But this doesn't particularly connect with the low energy eigenspaces. Then we offer another way to encode. Now we basically consider excitations. So here we think about the ground state of a local gapped Hamiltonian, where the local tensor A is given. And on top of this, we think about these kind of states. So in this state, we basically just change the local tensor that sits on the jth position. This is not another code vector, because these two are actually potentially locally indistinguishable, including the jth spin. So what we do, we actually we construct a momentum superposition of these type of states. Okay. Of course, with the normalization factor. So this is very similar to the example that we just saw with the non-injective MPS, basically a product state and a W state. It's a particular example of this with all zero state and the momentum zero state, with just one excitation here. But here basically this construction tells us that we can play the same game with any given MPS ground state, and on top of it, with the excitations. And when one actually looks at the code parameters, two different momentum eigenstates are locally indistinguishable on D sides up to order 2D over N. And the D local operator can cause an overlap of at most, again, the same order. Hence, using this bound, this again gives us the same asymptotic code parameters to the alpha test. So Yeah, I guess I have to finish in a few minutes. Let me, basically I just present, I mean, I'm done presenting the result. So let me actually put some, say a few remarks of this. So basically, this is not a particular construction that, you know, given an MPS, you can just construct these states. But it has actually a physical meaning. Due to a previous paper by Hageman, Michalakis, Osborne, Shuch, and Frestrate, they basically showed that under mild assumptions, which basically says that if you have an isolated pole in the energy spectrum, you can basically accurately approximate every momentum eigenstate in this energy band. By actually choosing this B a little bit larger. So you actually allow blocking, you allow a larger B, and your approximation gets better and better. So this shows that at the low energy eigenspace, including the ground state, if you have this property of being isolated pole, you can basically pick momentum eigenstates as your code space with these parameters. Of course, if you start to pack more and more momentum eigenstates in the code space, your codes will definitely fail. Simply because if you are, basically if all momentum eigenstates are available, you may start now construct wave packets, localized wave packets. And obviously localized wave packets are locally distinguishable. So this is why you cannot actually include all the momentum eigenstates, but you can only include up to order n momentum eigenstates. Right. What else? Yeah. So maybe another remark is that, I mean, we somehow get always the similar parameters that we get in the previous examples. One is these particular gapless models, which are Motzkin models, and also at the finite energy density eigenstates of local 1D Hamiltonian. So somehow this looks like a generic behavior for all these systems. But obviously we still couldn't achieve what people expect from the codes that exist at low energy of CFTs. Because if you remember, if I, for example, erase 1/3 of the boundary system, then we're still able to recover the bulk operator. But this somehow conjectures that we may have, or we should have for these states, linear distance codes, which I still find very puzzling. Okay, I guess that's all. Thanks a lot.